Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 27th day of June 2018. Forgetting my dates and times. 27th day of June 2018. My name is Peter Wakeup. It's good to be with you on a Wednesday. And a special thanks to Corey Lane for taking yesterday for me and giving, Sanko Price, and giving me the opportunity to be with you this morning. This morning, the program, of course, is co-hosted. It is produced and directed by Mr. Dennis Johnson, who is well known to you. No telephonist at this point in time, so it looks as though the person that you speak to will be Dennis. And I'm with you until 1 p.m. Of course, at 1, we take a break for our usual cropover programming. And I do hope that you will want to be a part of that also. Not a whole lot I want to tell you this morning. I'm anxious to get to the phone lines, and I understand that they're ready. People are waiting in line to chat, and I'm, of course, anxious to chat with them. We have had a lot of, one could say, distraction by football over the past couple of days. And on two occasions, I've done interviews regionally. I've been asked about football and who I'm supporting and whatnot. I'm always at a loss, almost as much of a loss as I am when cricket questions come up, when these types of issues arise. So suffice to say, there will be no talk of football or cricket this morning, but certainly anything else that you want to chat about, I'm more than happy to entertain you, and I give you the benefit of my opinion on things as the program progresses. So 434-1790-266-IVOB. And let's get the program started and say good morning and welcome to the first caller.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Peter.
This is Sandy.
How are you? Yes.
Hey, how are you, my dear?
You, me, I'm on top of the world, still basking in our victory.
Good, good.
Yes. How have you been?
I've not been bad. I've been busy, which seems to be the story of my life, but I'm not going to complain. You know, persons like us who are self-employed are happy to be busy.
There's no point complaining.
Yeah.
There's no point to come here. I want to just, very short this morning, I want to say that I'm noticing in the media a lot, mm-hmm. and this is whether it is on air and the newspaper, mm-hmm. a lot of incorrect grammar, Peter. Yeah. And you know my take on that over
yeah.
the years. And I'm talking about people who read news, mm-hmm. who read sports news, and a lot of incorrect pronunciation and enunciation. And I would think that if these people are reading information, I would think before you read it, you should obey yourself with the words, the construction of sentencing, the enunciation and pronunciation of words. And I am just really, this is what, 5 weeks I am hearing repetitively the same persons with that type of grammar. And we are trying our utmost to have children listen to people who speak correctly. And that is really a little peeve of mine, Peter. I don't know what you feel about that.
I know this when and where.
And I don't want to hear this thing about dialect.
But this is what I was saying, is when and where.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But I'm speaking, Peter, if you are in a public forum, if you are on the air, you need to be au fait with what you're going to say, because we are trying, everything is trying to get to the next level. Am I right or wrong?
Agreed, yes.
Right. Therefore, if, especially in my capacity as a teacher, I try my utmost every day to make sure and ensure that children do the right thing, because whatever you speak, Peter, you write. Am I right?
Mm.
Correct. So I am just a little peeved that on in the media, on the air, I'm hearing repetitively the same people making the same grammatical mistakes. And I want the powers that be to really and truly see about that and look into that. And you know, I make
Who are the powers? Who are the powers that be here at StarCorp?
I'm not calling any names, and I'm not calling any particular media house.
I see Dennis making feverish notes, so maybe he's the powers that be.
Note. I'm talking across the board, Peter.
Yeah.
I'm also very happy that for the 12 years I have been speaking to you about getting more guidance counselors and therapists, etc., in the school system, that we are finally there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I mean, that's certainly something good and something that I can comment on positively. I'm at a bit of a disadvantage, Sandy, I have to admit, where these issues are concerned. I hear them all the time. And I have to admit, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you and other people who are more into standard English than I am. I think that my challenge is that I often fall short of the glory where standard English is concerned. And I also appreciate that for many people, the use of standard English is challenged by virtue of the fact that it is not necessarily always used in the home. So it becomes a class thing. And that's part of the reason that I'm always afraid to pass judgment, because I do appreciate that it's always a question of social class. Many people who revert to dialect do so on account of the fact that they've grown up in an environment where that is the preferred language of communication.
Agreed, but Peter, as you go through life, I think that there are certain people in certain positions should have rectified that.
Yeah, but Sandy, you ought to also appreciate, look, you know, from time to time, I call offices and I say, to whom am I speaking? And the person says, you're speaking to Mr. Wickham. And I say, does Mr. Wickham have a first name? And they go, yes, he does. And the conversation ends there. I appreciate that many people do not understand that you're not to give yourself that title of Mr. You say, my name is Peter Wickham, as opposed to saying, my name is Mr. Wickham. But there are many people who believe that it is appropriate for them to introduce themselves as Mr. or Miss
as
somebody.
Mr.
Right.
Correct.
And I always say that, you know, you go to a hospital and the doctor introduces himself to you as doctor for obvious reasons, because he has to distinguish himself as a medical practitioner who is entitled to treat you. But beyond that, there's really no reason that you offer a title. So if your name happens to be Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford, Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford will not introduce himself to you and say, hi, good morning, my name is Sir Lloyd. The point, ma'am, is that this is something that is a question of, I guess you could say, protocol, and people often don't understand these things because it's not something that's taught in school necessarily.
You know that.
And it really is a matter of social class, and that's the reason why I am always slow to rush to judgment regarding these things, because I realize that some people just don't know better. And, you know, in instances where I have had, for example, to call someone aside and say, do you realize that you just introduced yourself to me as Mr. and do you realize it is something that should not be done? Often there's a hostility with which it is greeted.
And
you think you're better than me? Why can't I be Mr. if you're Mr.? And the
right,
point is...
Right, wrong is wrong.
Right, but Sandy, the point I'm making is that it is always a very delicate issue. So, for example, if you work with someone who pronounces the word platform as flatform.
Which is done.
Right. I mean, am I to assume that because I know it to be platform and you pronounce it as flatform that I am right and you are wrong? The point is that the person who is listening to you understands exactly what you're speaking about. Now, if you go to the United Kingdom and you speak of a flatform, you will have a challenge. If, however, you speak of a flatform in the context of Barbados, people like know exactly what you're talking about.
We know that. I'm not even speaking about that. Because
I know, so, but I'm saying, Sandy, just be sensitive with the issue. That's all I'm saying. Because, you know, the last thing I would want to appear as though I'm someone who, because I've had the benefit of growing up in a household where standard English was spoken, that I believe I'm better than somebody else, because I'm not. You know, that doesn't make me better.
You just know, to give you a little humor to
spice up the morning.
Like, what about, I think the difference between the number three and the tree you climb, people, and I actually see children write that incorrectly. So little things like that. So if you're giving me news and mm-hmm. you're telling me Peter got tree, I wonder sometimes, I would know it's the number three, mm-hmm. but some people will not. And it comes over, as I said, incorrectly. And I am talking about because we are working with young children, whether it's young teenagers, etc., because I understand that a lot of people who supposedly have degrees write letters and applications, and they really can't differentiate different words.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I'm saying, Peter.
You know, Sandy, someone is telling me here, Sandy's going to go down that line, tell her that it is children and not children. Someone else says, Peter, if it is repeated. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is a comment.
And tell them to, it's not kids.
Right. Someone has said, if it's repeated, it's not a mistake. Oh, Mr. Wickham, this is Sandy's pet peeve. And, you know, the comments go on and on. And, you know, Sandy, from time to time,
I'm not,
when you hear people saying things like, I have sugar, or alternatively, I had the belly last night. You have to remind yourself that for many people, this is the way that they're describing a particular ailment, and for them, it is entirely normal.
Because that is something different.
But Sandy, my point is that if you don't understand them, if they tell you or they try to explain in standard English what they're talking about, you may not be clear on what their ailment is. So Marsha Hines-Lane, for example, who is known to you, what she teaches at the University of the West Indies to medical students is essentially just that, you know, helping them to understand that, you know, there are some people who communicate in that way and you just have to be able to understand it. So all I'm saying is let's not rush to judgment. I know where you're going with the issue. I understand that it's a concern, but we have to be careful in terms of how we communicate these things. That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, but I'm only airing my feelings.
Yeah, which is fine.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, everybody is entitled to air their opinion.
Yeah. All right.
Right? Anyway, all right, you
Sandy.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, and you have a great weekend too, because I suspect thank we won't you. Chat again before
the
weekend.
For you. I'll be looking for you on the road for Kuduman.
Not this year.
Not this year, but you didn't either last year.
I know. Last year, I didn't. I did 4 day morning.
Yeah, but you didn't do
it. But I didn't do it. And unfortunately, this year, I won't be able to do either. But I guarantee you that next year, I will be out with a bang.
Why aren't you doing this year?
I'm going to be away from Barbados for the summer, unfortunately.
Oh, I thought you were tightening your belt.
No. But my belt tight already. I mean, I can't possibly be any tighter. You know, one of the I say good or bad, the reality, Sandy, is that I don't have children of my own. And belt tightening is always a easier process for people who don't have children. People who do, I really do get concerned at the extent to which belt tightening has to take place and will have to take place further over the next few months.
So. I see. But all right. As I said, have a wonderful day and nice speaking to you again.
Likewise. Okay, Sandy, take care.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning and welcome. This is Down to Brass Talks. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning, sir. How are you and your kind self?
Greetings and salutations to your great self.
Thank you.
I'd like to first congratulate the Honourable Dr. William Dugate, JPMP, Designated Minister of Transport and Works and Maintenance, for his first presentation while he reported to Parliament yesterday to the Rose Jew for the continuation for maintenance. He made mention of having talks with personnel from the National Petroleum Corporation to have gas lines laid. I'd like to draw to Dr. Dugate's attention that during a celebration at the St. Barnabas Church, a celebration of the Solemn Eucharist, given through to God with the members and associates of the National Petroleum Corporation on the fifth Sunday in Lent, Sunday, April 2, 2006. He reminded the residents of Barker's Road and Upper Tichburn that they would soon be getting gas. As a reminder, a gas line is only meters away from Barker's Road. Today, we are still without the services. What also is shocking, it is almost 4 years since the new main water line was put down. The road resurfaced and no gas lines were put down. But next door, I get home. In conclusion, sir, I am not surprised by the pending reduction of the top heavy laden CBC Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation, since it was said sometime during the last quarter of last year, but was categorically denied by only one director using the system first in, last out.
Okay.
I get your response, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Not a whole lot that I can say in response. We're going to have to take a break now. When we come back, we continue the conversation. Good morning and welcome back. I have a couple of notes I want to read to you. First one comes from someone who I won't identify. Pete, good morning. Speaking about titles, have you ever noticed that there are people who introduce themselves as doctor and so on when they have only an honorary doctorate from the University of the West Indies or from any other university? Some time ago, I recall hearing someone refer to Harold Hoyt, called him doctor, and he immediately spoke to them and told them that the doctorate is an initial behind his name and certainly not in front of his name. And I'm certainly happy that we can use Mr. Harold Hoyt as an example of why this is something that is often practiced in public domain that really should not be done. So when someone has an honorary doctorate, it is inappropriate to refer to that person as doctor, although sadly it has become a convention. My understanding of doctor is that you refer to a medical doctor as such, or alternatively, a medical doctor refers to himself as such. You can refer to persons who have been granted PhDs as doctor, but they should not call themselves doctor in a similar token. So that is the way that I understand it, and certainly that seems to be the correct way to do it. Another person is saying, Peter, the problem starts in school where some teachers speak in the same way. And another lady says, talking of names, which is correct, is it Mia Amor Motley or is it Mia Amor Motley? I can't remember people calling Owen Seymour or Lloyd Erskine Sandiford all the time. My understanding is that Amor is Mia's middle name, and Seymour is Owen's middle name. If you choose to call the entire name, you would do so. What I have often noticed is that my full name, which is Peter Wilson Wickham, is used largely by my mother when she's angry. So when you hear the three names being used, it usually denotes some amount of concern on the part of your parents when they call you by your full name. It's usually associated with a flogging or some level of chastisement. In the case of politicians, we often use the full name Mia Amor Motley or Owen Seymour Arthur or Frundell Jerome Stewart for emphasis as a way of paying tribute. And I guess that is entirely reasonable. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I am thankful. A blessed and a spirit-filled day to you and yours.
Spirit-filled day?
A spirit-filled day.
Okay, what type of spirits? Are we talking monk gay?
No,
Cockspur?
Not that spirit.
Not
that
kind
one,
of spirit.
God the one, a blessed one. I am thankful this morning.
That must be blessed too. You think that them spirits ain't blessed?
Huh?
You think that them spirits ain't blessed?
You're right, maybe bless the rain in trouble too. What is life without a joke?
I agree. The problem is, you think I'm joking?
I want to say good morning to the staff at Starcom and all listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little concern this morning. I went to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital this morning, very early, for a blood test. And I want to say special thanks to the janitor gentleman who, when he came to open the door, he asked anyone who was taking, who came for blood test, they have to go across, which I would call the old Emore building.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not really sun is that good. We saw some arrows, but when we followed the arrows, it was behind the building. So I would like, if anyone hearing from the QEH, please put the signage down at the bottom when you're entering the main gate, and then on the sign where we have to go right out in the back. There was some elderly persons there. We had to wait till 8 o'clock when it opened. And there wasn't a way that they could rest themselves. Some of them you could see ill too. You know, to sit down. So at least if you could find two old chairs, got to refurbish new chairs in the hospital and take, bring the old ones probably that down in the storeroom or whatever. Clean them up and put one or two out there that, you know, the elderly could sit down. I had to sit down on the block because they're suffering with my back.
Okay.
I found a cement block and I went and, you know, relax myself until the place was open. I'm not trying to cause confusion or anything, but you know the right way is the right way. Nobody didn't really know. If the gentleman didn't tell us, we would go there and sit down and didn't know that it was there. So another gentleman, he went across at Lady Mead and then had to come back there.
Okay.
So I hope that it would do some signage or put some message on GIS so that people would understand where it is. that they would go on one ramble. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing that it went early.
And you want to pay tribute to the fact that it was a, you said it was a Nord Lee that gave you good service and directed?
A gentleman, he does be there very early because I go at 5:30 if I have any appointments in the morning. And he would come out and he would explain to you, you know, what is going on. I don't know his name, but he's from Deacon's Farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank him very much. He's very kind and caring to persons who come out there. Well, they know him very well. So he came and he asked. We could have let us walk and go and sit down. But he mentioned if anybody was taking blood tests, it's not there any longer. And he sent us, but we still went rambling.
Because
there's more than one green building there. So we thought it was the first building where the lab is. But it's then on the left, right out in the back.
All right, ma'am.
So I hope people are hearing and they will do something about it.
So thank you for using our forum to give those commendations. That's appreciated very much. You know, you often hear negatives about the public service. I want to use the opportunity also to give a commendation of my own. I frequently pass through the airport security, and I want to tip my hat to the staff of G4S. I've seen those ladies and gentlemen under tremendous pressure, especially when they have the AC transfer days, and I'm really impressed, certainly as I compare them to security in the other two places I went recently, which is Dominica and St. Vincent. And I really want to commend them in the way that they handle themselves and the efficiency with which they operate. I often find that the staff of Argyle International Airport has actually become, I would say, the most horrific incoming and outgoing security. They call it being careful. I find that it's often a bit excessive. But, you know, it is their right, and one should not challenge their right to do a good job. I think that the folks here do a good job, but they do it with a level of efficiency. And 2 days ago, when I was on my way out, I left a small iPod in the dish, and the lady actually came, found me where I was, and called me to come back for it. And I appreciate that. This is, I guess, a facility you can extend to someone who you see frequently, and you recognize that they always come with an iPod. But the fact that she went the extra mile, I want to commend her and thank her for giving good service, and generally for the way that they handle themselves up there. I think by and large, the staff at our airport do a reasonably good job, both incoming and outgoing. So, down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm great.
Okay.
I almost said I'm blessed. But that's...
there's a word that you can use, Dubia.
All right.
It's a word that you can use. Right. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you on two different issues.
Mm-hmm.
About first, to the caller who spoke about the amalgamation of urban
and
rural development commission.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, you would understand that when urban and rural development commission was constituted, that there's provisions in law that guide the process. There's an urban corridor and there's a rural corridor. Therefore, if there are going to be any amalgamation of the two, it means that you have to make some amendments to the act that governs both of them in order to do so. That's not as easy as, I mean, it can be done.
But Patrick, I hear that's to happen though.
But then there will have to be.
You know more about these things than me, so.
Yeah, there will have to be amendments for the accommodation at the
imagination. But what are amending the constitution last week, just so?
Much so, the noise of the opposition who don't really have no record.
When you got all these seats, I mean, changes to the laws are neither here nor there. You could do it for the Sunday afternoon if you want.
I don't want to take away from my substantive point, but the point I want to make is that because there was a lot of noise coming from the UPP leader and other members. And the truth is, I believe that if a citizen of this country leave the country for 20 years, 30 years, and this has always been my view, even when my amendments was made for the accommodation of the Chief Justice, the point I made in that is simply this, because I like to be consistent with my views, and that is that there was nothing inherently wrong. The challenge I had is that our system of governance was such that we should have, and Mr. Simmons at the time, was doing a fantastic job, and I didn't understand the reason why the government could not have held him in the post for a much longer while as to carry the mandate that he wanted in terms of transformation of the justice system. That's my view on it. And I don't believe that person is living abroad, a Barbadian that is, who come home and want to serve in the country, that they should be obstructed by any means of the legislation that is in place. That's rubbish.
Patrick, my views are similar to yours, but I think that my views are also go beyond that. I have a view of the world that says that when you impose a citizenship requirement, it's not unreasonable, but when you impose, like, for example, to be president of the United States, you have to be born in the United States. Right. I think that to be an unfortunate position because birth is accident. Having said that, it colors my view of this whole issue. No, let me be clear. I have reservations about bringing someone who has lived outside of Barbados for 3 decades and imposing that person immediately or parachuting them into a senior position. I have reservations about that. Having said that, however, I think that a prime minister and a leader has the right to have their man or their woman, as the case may be. And I took that position when Fernando Stewart wanted to bring Chief Justice to Barbados after being away for such a long period of time. I felt that as much as I had reservations, I felt that he had a right to the appointment, and I certainly never publicly opposed it. It's the same position I take with these now. If that's who Prime Minister Motley wants, then so be it. Because a prime minister has to have the opportunity to fill out their administration with the people that they want. And I think that we have to trust their judgment in that regard. Having said that, however, I would like us to get to a stage where we can legislate on these matters without reference to an individual. So we can set a standard and say, look, if someone other than the current Chief Justice had appeared from out of nowhere, that person would be entitled to the same privileges that he did. So in other words, let's not wait until an opportunity like that presents itself to make those changes. And one of the areas I believe that we need to look at changes is the aspect of our constitution that speaks to dual nationality.
Which has
become a problem in other Caribbean countries. I personally think that is something that needs taking out before it becomes a problem where we actually are faced with the challenge of having someone with dual nationality that needs to be appointed, and that's making the change to deal with them. I think it is an anachronism. I think that provisions like these are relics of an era that have long since passed, and I feel that it might be an idea to look at making that change. Anyhow, that's it for me in terms of, I'm not going to interrupt you any further. Carry on, sir.
Be assured that our Prime Minister will do the things necessary to ensure that there's some reformation as it relates to the Constitution in this country. But I want to move on. There was a caller last week when I spoke to you. I spoke about, and there was a picture all on social media, the current state, the state at the time, sorry, of the Bridgetown sewage plant, and then the new state after 3 weeks of the new Minister of Energy and Water Resources on the job. And he came and he told you that it was in progress, and that there's no need for me to be saying that about this whole transformation at Bridgetown Storage Plant. But I come this morning to make it absolutely clear that plant sat there in the condition that it was found when this new administration came to office for the better part of 2.5 years with the Minister of Agriculture and Water Resources Management. So to tell me that it was in progress, he must tell me then if all the sewage that was laying on the streets of this country for the better part of 2.5 years after having been warned by a personnel from the Barbados War Authority, if that also was in progress. We need to stop today here and stop with this political jargon that is coming to the programs with. The bottom line is that for 4 weeks since this administration was elected to office, that you can see a complete transformation of the South Coast sewage, but you can now smell Kentucky chicken on your way up the Hastings.
Which is not necessarily a good thing.
Let me move on now, Peter. Now, the issue of these individuals who are saying that about the water bills and they want to separate the water bills and pay the water and not pay the tax. Now, I did some research on it because I was interested in getting to the bottom of it. There is an act in this country under the Constitution called the Provisional Collection of Taxes Act. Now, the Minister of Finance in this country was one of the most powerful individuals on the floor of Parliament. The only person that can speak things into law. Only individual that can speak things into law under the provision a great spirit from which he must now bring these things into law. So when the Minister of Finance, this is the Prime Minister, Ms. Motley, spoke about the water and sewage collection tax, it automatically went into law by virtue of her pronouncement on the floor of Parliament. Let's be absolutely clear. Under the Provisional Collection of Taxes Act, so the who want to divide the water bill and determine that they will only pay the water bill, but they will not pay the sewage, that they are free to do so. But let them understand that they will be bound by the law. Once the Minister of Finance goes to Parliament and regulates the pronouncement that was made in her presentation, it is no lawful. Right? And final
let them,
the
let them don't pay, they'll go on bail, but he pay.
Well, they can go if they want to return the stamp. That's fine. And the final point is the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. We can get picked back up there again.
Not me.
Some contracts will come to an end at the end of this month. So it appears some person is in hiding. I don't know if you have heard or seen
her.
They have appeared on the missing persons list.
I haven't seen her or heard her.
I don't know of a rare book. But I'm happy that the new Minister of Information and the Special Responsible for Broadcasting has now seen it fit to remedy the woes that existed in the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation for a very long time, and that all of the top heavies
I see reference being made to canceling contracts of people, but most of those people are subcontractors, are people at the level of announcer and so on.
All of the
talk hosts would have been contracted, and they probably have one or two other contractors offering services. The resident analyst, if her contract is anything like the one I had, that's a contracted post, but then the big money.
Peter, you must remember that Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation fall under the name just went to me and slipped me.
Of what? The communication?
Statutory corporation.
Right.
And as such, that a number of the jobs that I know have out there are persons working on a contractual arrangement.
Yeah, but Patrick, you are a person that does law. You can't frustrate somebody's contract without compensation. So if you look at a person like Doug Hoy, who would recently have been contracted, and one presumes for either 3 or 5 years, properly so, how are you going to frustrate that individual's contract without offering that person a basis on which to go, unless they do something wrong? In my case, when my contract up there was frustrated, I came to the end of a renewal period and they opted not to renew it. But even so, there was a clause in mine that said I could be terminated on 30 days' notice, which is, I'm assuming, the clause that is being invoked. But yes, contracts above that level don't normally talk about 30 days notice unless there's a substantial inducement in there to say to you, all right, well, if you want to walk now, then we pay you accordingly. And CBC ain't got the money to pay.
The contract I had at the National Conservation Commission was similar to yours. With 30
but
days
less notice. Mine was less money though, right?
No. My wasn't the money to speak of. To speak of. But the point of one, Peter, is that while what you said just now is true, how about those contracts that were put in place long before the expiration date that give some people employment now to 2023 and 2027? Yeah, I've seen a contract only yesterday, a copy of a one. That has gone as far as 2028.
Yeah,
now,
but Patrick, is it illegal?
How does a government, but Peter, the question I want to ask you this morning, how does an outgoing government, in good conscience,
it's immoral and unconscionable,
to do this and have the Prime Minister now hands trapped?
Right.
And that if you're going to terminate these contracts, she will now have to consider large sums of it is not fair.
Patrick, that is the reason why you do it. You try to create an environment for people, invariably it's people who are useless, right? Invariably it's people who are useless. You create an environment where useless people have to be kept because the pain of releasing them is substantial. Now, a person who is not useless doesn't have to worry about things like that. So as far as they're concerned, if you decide to terminate me, no problem. I mean, CBC terminate me, I still alive. is neither here nor there. You get terminated for NCC and you still walk in boat and doing and earn a living is neither here nor there. But the point is that individuals who feel themselves are concerned themselves to be useless and not be able to attract the kind of job that they had one place are always concerned about that. And then you have, as an administration, if you're true to them, to lock down those people in ways that they would have a job to come back to. And I understand the politics of it. And I'm saying to you that as a legal person, you yourself know that while it is immoral and unconscionable, it is not illegal. And I really don't know what you're going to do to somebody who is properly contracted for 5 years, even if it
the person was contracted before the old one expired.
No, Peter.
Two things. And you got to look at the Constitution. Two things, Peter. That Parliament was dissolved.
Parliament was dissolved itself
at the hands of anything. But the point I want to make, Peter, is that some of the contracts that I have seen were to be expired, some in June this month, some for last month, some was in April, and they were renewed in December and September of last year before the expiration date. I am saying that the Prime Minister of this country and her ministers that she appointed to the various ministries who now have these individuals to deal with should have a way to be able to question, Peter, to question the sincerity of the renewal of these contracts. And I would hope that when the ministers led by Prime Minister Motley have to do what they have to do, that I don't hear the Kadir Choir singing in this country.
The Kadir Choir?
The Kadir Choir. Right. I would hope they don't hear them, because it can't be fair. Because people must understand something in politics, right? These persons are in, some of them are in very key positions.
But we agree. We are not disagreeing.
But what I'm saying is that they are located there to frustrate the efforts of the new administration and their quest to carry out their mandate to the people of this country.
And that is why the legal brilliance of Prime Minister Motley and Attorney General Dan Marshall will be tested in this regard, because we have to understand now whether your views regarding the morality of the situation can be matched with your legal ability to do something about it. And I want to thank you, Patrick. You and I are in full agreement on this matter. It's just a question of seeing what can be done. We're going to have to take a break and come right back.